morning. I'm Claire Meyer, and I serve here as the Director of Faith Formation. And if you're worshiping with us for the first time, welcome. We're so glad that you are here. If you're seated at the end of a pew, could you pass down that worship folder? In it are our Connect and prayer cards. If you're interested in learning more about the mission or ministry of Bethany, you can fill that out. We'll get back to you. Also in there are those prayer cards. We'd love to hear your prayers, prayer requests, prayer praises, so that we can be praying with you. You can drop those cards in the offering plate or out at one of the connection centers. We really do want to be a praying church, and so starting today and all through Lent, we're going to have prayer ministers up here at the front of the worship center at the end of the service. You can come forward and receive a prayer. You don't have to say anything, or you can share what's on your heart with that prayer minister, whatever you're comfortable with, and they can pray with you. So last week, Pastor John started us off with a new series called Jaywalking, Jesus Walking. And during this series, we're spending the 6 weeks leading up to Easter in Jesus' footsteps. And so far, Pastor John covered Jesus' baptism, and on Ash Wednesday, he covered Jesus' temptation, two really excellent messages. You can find them online if you missed them. And today, we're going to explore what happens next. You see, we've had the warm-up act, we've had the splashy entrance, and so now what? How is Jesus going to grow and sustain this movement? He's got to recruit some followers. And I'm a firm believer that faith is formed through personal, trusted relationships. Let me say that again. Faith is formed through personal, trusted relationships. And that's exactly how Jesus recruits his first disciples. Specifically, it's how he recruits Peter. So let's find out what happens. And we're going to open our Bibles today. There's some in your pew, so grab your Bible out. We're in Luke's Gospel today. We're going to start in chapter 4. Luke's in the New Testament, so it's towards the end of your Bible. And our Bibles, we've got two different publication date, so it's either on page 53 in the back or 57. I'm stalling here so that you know you should actually get your Bibles out and follow along. I'll give you another moment. If you're listening online, you can open a new tab and Google Luke 4 NRSV. I'll continue stalling. Luke's the third gospel, right? Not because it was written third, but because it's close to Matthew and Mark, and they wanted to put it close to its sequel, the Acts of the Apostles, so they shoved it right there in number 3. All right, did we find it? Let's get into Peter's story. Look first at chapter 4, verse 14. Verse 14. Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee. And, you know, Galilee is where he's from. It's his home base. So this makes sense. Next verse. A report about Jesus spread throughout the surrounding country. And all four Gospels have this setting of the calling of the disciples in Galilee. But listen to verse 15. He began to preach and teach in the synagogues and was praised by everyone. Now, this is really unique because in the other Gospels, the story goes from temptation to a summary statement of a verse or two and then right into the call of the first disciples. But Luke's going to give us a bit more background to Peter's call. Jesus starts preaching and look at verse 28. When the people heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. Yikes, please don't be filled with rage today, people. They got up and drove him out of the town and led him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built so that they might hurl him off the cliff. Whew. But this doesn't stop Jesus. He walks right through the crowds and he goes about casting out demons and people are amazed. People are amazed. And then we get to verse 38. This is where Peter enters the scene. It says this, after leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered Simon's house. And this is Simon Peter. He gets his name Peter later in the gospel. And this is the only gospel that this story of the healing, this healing of Peter's mother-in-law, happens before he's called as a disciple. Here's what verse 38 says. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus about her. Then Jesus stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. You see, in all the other Gospels, Jesus hasn't met the disciples before he calls them. But if you look back one verse at 37, you'll see a report about Jesus began to reach every place in the region. So it's fair to assume that Peter had heard of Jesus. And then Jesus happens to stop by Peter's house. And what do you think happened at Simon Peter's house? I wonder, did Peter and Jesus have a little conversation about Jesus? Did Jesus say, "Hey, I just healed your mother-in-law and I'm the savior of the universe. Why don't you come and follow me?" Did they exchange some longing, meaningful glance across the room? Luke doesn't give us any more about that interaction, but I think that maybe God was planting a seed in Peter. Like Peter needed some softening up before he could jump in with both feet. I feel like that. Like, you know, one hint or one miracle, that could just be a random coincidence. But the good news is God pursues us. Jesus is willing to enter our house, get personal with us, enter our mess. If you went to my house, you'd see my literal mess. I hope Jesus doesn't show up there later. But Jesus is willing to enter into that, even enter into our mother-in-law mess, enter our family dynamics. And how many of us have messy family relationships? Jesus is willing to get personal. Get really personal. All right, let's go on to the next scene, chapter 5. Jesus is standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, which is just another name for the Sea of Galilee. And it's an interesting juxtaposition of the crowds pressing in again to hear the word of God. And yet, look, we don't ever hear what Jesus says to them. Luke is unconcerned about this preaching. I want to know what Jesus said. Instead, we get the story of how Jesus gains Peter's trust. The healing at his house maybe wasn't enough for Peter to jump in with two feet, so Jesus does something bigger. Jesus borrows Peter's boat. And borrows, I mean takes. Look at it. He doesn't ask Peter, "Hey, Peter, can I borrow your boat?" He just sees it and gets in. Right? And we should know that Peter's been out all night, working, and with nothing to show for it. He's got to be tired. And his work still wasn't done. He's washing the nets, and then they had to mend the nets and dry the nets. And yet, here comes Jesus taking Peter's boat. And I think Peter's got to be thinking, how long is this going to take? But then in verse 4, Peter gets pushed by Jesus a bit further. And Jesus says, hey, Pete, hey, Simon, why don't you just go out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch? And at this, I think Jesus would have gotten a giant eye roll that could rival a 15-year-old teenager eye roll. Because you don't fish in the morning light, because the fish would see the nets and just swim the other way. Plus, out in the deep water, the best technique is for two boats. That's why there was two boats there. And they would drag the boat, the net between them and kind of circle around to catch the fish. And what does this dude Jesus even know about fishing? Isn't he a carpenter? Peter and his brother, they had a successful fishing business, even if this last night wasn't successful. But look at what Peter's response in verse 5 is. He says, "Yet if you say, Jesus, I'll let down my nets." I think Peter is filled with doubts in this moment. Despite hearing all of the rumors about Jesus, despite witnessing Jesus power to heal, despite hearing Jesus preach before his eyes, Peter's still unsure. Peter's relying on his own experiences that would say, "Jesus, this is a foolish attempt at fishing." Don't we do that too? Don't we rely on our own knowledge, our own experiences? But Jesus is tenacious in his pursuit of Peter's trust. And this is what happens. Fish galore. So many fish that they had to signal their partners to come out and help. Two boat loads full of fish. So much that they're almost sinking. And look at Peter's response in verse 8. Peter falls to his knees and he says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Notice that this time he calls Jesus Lord. Before it was Master, but now that Jesus has gotten personal, now that Jesus has gained Peter's trust, Jesus is Lord, God, Savior. Now, this proclamation of Peter's is not news to Jesus. Jesus knew who Peter was when he went to Peter's boat. Jesus knew who Peter was when he went to his house. Jesus knew who Peter was long before they even met. Jesus knew Peter. And I think Peter thought somehow his sinfulness would disqualify him from a relationship with Jesus. But again, Peter is thinking based on the way the world works, not the way Jesus works. Because Jesus equips the called, not calls the already equipped, not calls the qualified. And we see this in Jesus' next statement. He says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people." And this is our call too. Jesus is pursuing us just as he pursued Peter. Jesus gets personal with us, gets into the mess, gets into the daily grind of our lives. And Jesus builds trust with us by being reliable, by showing up time and time again, and by calling us to something more than we could ever imagine. A call to be part of God's action in the world. A call to be fishers of people, to catch people in Jesus' love. Now I know many of you out there are probably thinking like Peter, like, "Now Claire, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the extent of my sin. That call can't be for me. God wouldn't want me. Wouldn't want my help. What good could I do?" Or maybe you're thinking, "Claire, I'm not a preacher. I can't devote my life to Jesus. I'm not even in a helping profession." Like, maybe you could see if you were a doctor or a teacher, they could be serving the world, but you're just a banker or an accountant or someone who punches the clock to earn a paycheck. "That call can't be for me. I'm not qualified. I don't even know enough about the Bible, Claire. I tried to find Luke, and I tried for like 5 minutes, and I've missed half of what you said. That call can't be for me." But here's the thing. Jesus didn't care about Peter's excuses, and Jesus doesn't care about yours. You have been called. If you're sitting in this room today, if you're listening online, you have been called. You are qualified because Jesus says so. Because it's not about you. It's about Jesus working through you. It's about sharing your story. Remember how the crowd pressed in to hear the word of God, but we didn't hear what that word was? Well, it's because Jesus is the word of God in the flesh. Jesus, the word, is building relationships with us. And helping us build relationships with others. "Fish for people," Jesus says. Jesus fished for Peter, doubting, back-talking, undeserving Peter. And then the Gospel of Luke and Acts of the Apostle goes on to show what God can do through a willing and often unwilling servant. And God can and will do the same through you. Because your calling is not about what you do, your job, your profession, or even what you do in your volunteer time. Your calling is about how you go about living your life. Are you fishing for people? Are you building relationships that are personal, that are filled with trust? Are you sharing your story of God in your life through your actions, through your attitudes, through your priorities? It's okay if your answer is no today, because God, because Jesus is persistent. So will you keep your eyes open this week? Will you look for your boatloads of fish? Will you embrace your call to be who Jesus is calling you to be? Let's pray. Jesus, we may often shout, "Go away," to you because it seems too much. It seems like you've picked the wrong person. And God, we are not qualified, and yet you pursue us anyway. You love us anyway. And you say to us, "Do not be afraid." And then, God, you call us to participate in your work of sharing your love in the world. Jesus, help us respond to your love by pursuing opportunities each and every day to follow more closely in your footsteps. Amen.